Bump, bump. And are we broadcasting? Yes, we are. Okay.
I can see you, John.
Hey. Hey, man. So are you still waiting for your car?
Yeah.
What happened to your car?
It's on the rack. It's getting an alignment.
Oh.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So,
got all new tires and don't want it to happen again.
What happened to Rick Smith? Did he?
I keep screwing up the email.
Oh.
All right. But I thought Troy was coming on. Is Troy coming on?
If you sent him the invite.
I don't think I did, but I think you were supposed to.
Well, I don't have his address, I don't think. That might have been one of those emails you sent me with to the wrong address.
Right. That's true. That's probably
okay.
It. That's exactly.
Remember, you had a missing number in one of the copies. I have three addresses for Scott. I don't know which one is right. You know, so
I'm going to try to send it to him now.
I sent it to two of them this morning. You know, S. Marshall and Scott at RedNet.
That's the right one.
The last one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Anyway, okay, everybody, good morning and welcome to the Labor Beat Radio Show, broadcasting here. From Bolivar, West Virginia, supposedly named after Simon Bolivar. But, of course, in the mountains here, we say things a little different than downtown.
They really do?
Yes. Anyway, and today is Tuesday, December the 12th. We're entering the holiday season. I was listening to a old Jimmy Swaggart advertisement. You may remember him. He was a fallen preacher of the word. anyway, and it was an old ad of his because it came on Facebook. I saw it, and it was called "Why Don't We All Gather This Year in the Holy Land for Christmas." And I said, Jesus. And so Jimmy Swaggart.
Yeah, we definitely don't want to go to the Holy Land right now.
Yeah, you could have to bring a machine gun, with you.
A bulletproof vest.
Yes, you bomb something.
Actually, a bunch of us are going to the Israeli consul in Chicago tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for you.
To demand.
And tell him to wise up.
And demand a ceasefire.
Good. That's great.
Hey, on the question of a ceasefire, do you have... Scott, a sample resolution of any kind that you've passed, and steel workers or among retirees that we're thinking about. I think, am I right, John? We're thinking about bringing it up at the Central Labor Council at the next meeting. If we had a reasonable looking resolution to copy, that'd be very cool.
Yes,
say that again.
I do have one, and I will send it to you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, thank you.
Last tour meeting.
Great.
And we're sending it up to the international leadership. They haven't committed to anything yet, but
yeah.
I think you probably saw that the UAW international endorsed
took a position.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Actually,
I think it's good.
I think it's over 800. Labor organizations have endorsed.
That's great.
That's actually local unions or national
all kinds
unions.
Of
or,
okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Or district councils or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's...
Well, I took it up with the leadership of the Chicago Fed, and both the president and the secretary treasurer like it, but they can't do it without, you know, but right. under their rules, they can't do it. So they have
is,
to.
Is it
a kind come of th- from the?
Yeah. Is it a kind of thing that they could invite discussion or on in a way that where you could, or is it too hot to?
No,
I'm sure
not
they're
at
going
all.
To fear
not
it's divisive all. Or what?
No. They would both support it, and the way I'll have to wait till the next meeting. But the way I can do it is under Good and Welfare. I can stand up and just say it and say,
why?
You know, we really need to discuss this, and they'll allow it, and they'll allow people to discuss.
Right.
So you can do it.
That's the perfect time to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good and well. Sure.
Yeah, maybe we should do it. We'll do it under the same premise.
That sounds good. Yeah, right.
It
and
makes
see what,
sense.
See what people think about it. Right.
And I'll tell you, when I took it to the SOAR, to our SOAR meeting, and we had, 25 or 30 people there. And people did not want to stop talking about it. And they were all pro.
Interesting.
And they all had ideas about things that we could do to try to push it more. And people we should call, and people took it down. And yeah, I mean.
Yes.
Right. Well, that sounds, I wouldn't be surprised. It just looked terrible. I just had a sense of doom when, you know, Biden both vetoed the UN resolution.
Absolutely.
And the next day sent more guns to Netanyahu. I mean, how many more do you want to kill? All of them? All the people? Where does it stop?
He's getting a lot of pushback.
He is, but man, you're not seeing too much of it in the mass media. Everything's consumed with at least the. I see the Harvard faculty stood up to the donors at Harvard, and prevented them from kicking out Claudine. I can't remember her last name now. President of Harvard, and also, I just was pleased because that sort of gave the finger to. Larry Summers, too, who's been lecturing on behalf of the donors, I think. So, anyway, I thought that was... But still, I see, you know, all the headline mass media is... some of it's opening up discussion, but... how can you escape the fact that the day Biden got elected president... A sea of anti-Chinese, anti-Russian, and we're gonna compete, and then soon enough, this just starts, and pretty soon you're on there's fires burning all around the world, and threatened ones even more, and now you have fiascos. They just announced today that the so-called Ukrainian counteroffensive failed. You know, and then so that's going to go on forever until someone decides they're going to negotiate something, you know. And then Israel started a new front against Lebanon this morning. That was in the news. So, and Biden... seems incapable. I don't know what his real feelings might be, but he seems bound to this policy. Where's the gigantic push?
Yeah.
I mean, you start to wonder.
Yeah.
Is it the oil industry? I mean, I know for years they thought that...
Sure. I think it is.
They thought that Israel was... And once you have U.S. foreign policy since World War II, a lot of times it starts out as with a military agreement to either train your military or your police and supply you with weapons in exchange for security assistance, right? And that assistance ends up, as a proxy for well, in the Middle East, it's all going to be about oil, mostly, right? I mean, how can it not be? You have a catspaw there, a nuclear-armed catspaw, in case anybody in the Middle East wants to give you trouble about the price of oil. And there you go. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, part of it is the rise of anti-Semitism in the United States. And he and others are afraid that if they come out the other way, if they come out against Israel, it'll be seen as anti-Semitism. That is such crap. That's so, so wrong. And obviously, all of us are for fighting anti-Semitism as hard as we're fighting against what Israel's doing. Yeah. But that, for somehow, that gets blurred with him and some of the others, and it's ridiculous. It really is. It's just not. They're just not looking at the reality of the situation.
I mean, one of the
they're not doing anything about anti-Semitism here either. They really aren't.
I'm not sure what people now mean sometimes by anti-Semitism. I had a conversation with my sister a few days ago, and she says to me, "Hey, John, are you shocked at the level of anti-Semitism in this country?" And this is from someone who spent 40 years in a country club that wouldn't let Jews in the front door.
Oh, wow.
So, I was a little speechless, frankly, by the thing. And so I'm wondering, what do you mean by, well, and of course she lives in Georgia, so we'll see what, but I, the Zionism has always said that any, opposition to the state of Israel is anti-Semitic. That argument goes all the way back to the beginning where all these countries turned Jewish people immigrating out of Europe away. Right. And this whole movement to go to Israel finally got backed by people, I think, the UK and the US, that wanted a cat's paw in the Middle East because all that territory was up to grabs after World War II.
Yep.
All the arrangements, all those borders drawn after World War I, where all these people got, all these different countries got pieces of the Middle East, right, supposedly, and then it fell apart, and then they redrew it. And why not have Israel, the play of the Jewish people in this weird, I think, cynical way in a lot of ways. I don't know.
Yep.
But these guys are no strangers to cynicism.
Yep.
The people making these policies. I don't know. And it gets the labor movement, I don't think, if I was in the leadership of the AFL-CIO, just because of what Biden has done on behalf of labor, how can you step away from him? On the other hand, because Trump certainly appears to be the much, much, much greater danger to everybody, and yet if you get hooked into this imperial around the world adventure, it's going to come back and kick your ass, as it has in the past here. So I just, I don't know what's going to happen.
It's more like a
in-network. I don't know what you guys do, but anyway, I like the idea of a resolution for ceasefires. Spread that around if you can stop it, or just stall it.
Another thing that I think is really interesting is that in both Israel and in Palestine, there are plenty of people who believe in the two-state solution and are ready, ready for it and eager for it. And I think, there's the real answer. And then you hear people say, they should all live together in one state. That's not going to happen. But the two-state solution is really the one that will work. And one other thing I want to say is that, you know, when you look at Hamas and you look at what they've done to the Palestinian people, and, you know, the real leaders of Hamas are not in Palestine. They're in, you know, rich hotels all around the world, but they're not in Palestine. And they really are. The real leaders of it are the ones that are the true war criminals.
Yeah. Well, why did Hamas become the only, you know, social organization that was could be active? Because the Israel wiped out the PLO.
Yeah,
which was a legitimate elected political organization, okay? And I don't think I agree with you, Scott, on that. I don't know whether I'm not going to put all the blame on Hamas for the war crimes. I think the times I was in Israel, you know, there were machine guns at all the restaurants on the West Bank. And it wasn't fully apartheid, but it was pretty close to apartheid situation, you know. Yeah. And I asked the question, so if Hamas is a war criminal, what's good conduct? What is good conduct for a Palestinian freedom fighter? What's good conduct for that person?
Yeah, but I mean, it's still what happened on the first day is not good conduct.
No, it's.
So we know there really are.
I wouldn't say so. I wouldn't say so. On the other hand, you know, what was George Washington to George III? I don't know.
Very different times. But.
Well, yeah, okay, but. How do you separate it? How do you solve like a two-state solution? The last two-state solution that was on the table was that Israel agreed to was one because they always claim they have agreed in the past to two-state solutions. Mm-hmm. The last one, you couldn't have an airport.
Yeah,
and
no,
you had to have two passports to get in and out. You know, and all.
No, I mean, no, there's no repeating. There's no, that was not a good one at all.
But I think the thing for us is to stop selling guns to them and Egypt and Saudi Arabia. And, you know, let's get our guns out of it. And then I'll bet you a different kind of peace process might emerge. Okay.
And getting oil companies out of the region.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen, but you have to
nationalize
a few of them. I don't know. I mean, you got to, I mean, you know, I just think our weapons are, you know, nobody else has that level of armament. Okay. I think it's us that has to say no, but you're right. I mean, it's our oil companies probably that, I mean, they've written U.S. foreign policy. You know, remember how the Rockefeller Institute used to appoint the Secretary of State or Defense for every administration? John Foster Dulles, you know, all those guys.
Absolutely.
George Shultz. I mean, they were all just like Henry Kissinger. And then they were all Henry was a Rockefeller guy from the beginning.
Yep, he sure was.
But anyway,
you mean you don't mourn his passing?
I say move on. Okay.
Let's move on.
Okay. Anyway,
That's right.
I noticed that the I see the Chinese have exploited it because it was Kissinger that actually encouraged Nixon to stop the Cold War, so to speak, with China. But that was a calculation based on the fact that, you know, China had averted the catastrophe of you know, the cults and stuff like that. You know, they had averted it, you know, and not, you know, crashed the whole system and handed it over. Oh, let's return to all these wonderful Western political parties that just saved the country. You know. And they didn't do that. And, you know, that...
And they actually did some good things for their people.
Oh, they've raised, I mean, their anti-poverty program changed the world poverty rate up.
Yep.
Down. And the poverty rate go down, just them alone.
Yep.
And I, you know, it's difficult to, but that's very closely related to rapid industrialization, which they also, you know, managed to
Absolutely.
Do, you know, so anyway.
And they're still leaders in AI and that kind of stuff.
Well, they are, yeah. And since the power of AI is largely proportional to the amount of data you have.
Yeah.
They have more people, and they're all hooked up on cell phones, so they got more data.
Yeah.
So their engines work better. Anyway, but yep. they need... It's true. They do want their chips, but having this war, they're going to have the chips just as soon as within 6 months of when we'll have them. You can't keep this stuff.
They have top-flight
engineers. They'll figure it out. They'll do something different. Might be better. Not going to win that way. I don't see. Why do you have to win?
Yeah, really.
I mean, why can't you just, you know, I mean, if you had a mutually beneficial trade agreement, isn't that possible to have a mutually beneficial trade agreement?
Of course.
You know, why not end the European wars? Why don't you just ask Russia to join NATO? I bet Putin would agree.
Yeah, keep your enemies close.
Well, whatever. I mean, he's.
Yeah, I agree with you,
it's the
John.
Third largest. You got to get people at the table, you know, in a situation where, you know,
that's a revolutionary idea, John.
You know, I don't know. I don't. Hillary would not agree, but sorry.
Well, you know, Hillary's a has-been. She's done. You can stick a fork in her.
Yeah.
Who would want to? Yeah.
Come on. If it was dark, you know.
No. I don't have anything particularly against her. I mean, I thought Trump was deplorable too. I don't blame her for that. But I do blame her for not giving a shit about the working class vote. Okay. I do.
Right.
I don't think she cared that much about it. And she
gave it up.
Yeah, she thought you could help the high-tech millionaires would help her win.
She thought Bruce Springsteen would bring it home.
Well, Bruce helped.
I don't know, he helped.
It would have been worse without him. I didn't think she would lose either. I mean, I'll confess right here. You know, I was scared of it because we live in West Virginia and we could see what was happening here. But... I didn't think she would lose, but she did. So,
better than me. I can't even remember what I thought.
I was on the radio, and you did too, because I think you called into the radio program once.
Probably.
it's a sad day. I don't know. Heard Biden make a speech the other day where he said, he was answering a question about how, well, if it hadn't been for the fact that Trump was running, he might not have run for re-election.
Mm.
So I'm not sure I would have let that one out of the bag just yet.
Yeah, really.
That's probably the way he that's probably the way he really feels. And he probably told the truth. I mean, I can relate to that. I don't know whether his enemies will exploit that more, but they probably will.
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, you guys got any hot news from the late movement in West Virginia here? We're all missing our departed former state president, Kenny Perdue, a good friend and a great guy. He had an unexpected heart attack. JB made it down to the memorial all the way on the other side of the state. you still on, JB, or are you dealing with your car? Oh, he's dealing with his car. Anyway, so that was a sad thing.
I'm on, but dealing with the car at the same time.
Okay. Anyway, so we sadly missed Kenny. He's a good leader. And anyway, we lost him. Yeah. So any news from the Chicago
working
area?
In the yard.
Working
just
in the
working
yard.
Working in the yard. Just like right. Me. I hope they find me like that.
But don't say that. Yeah. Okay. Well, not this
well,
way.
Well, I mean, that's a good way. That's a good way to go.
Right. Well, that's how.
Definitely don't want to be in a hospital bed somewhere.
Isn't that how the Godfather died in the first movie? Marlon Brando in his garden, chasing his kid around.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway. So, any other news, guys, for today?
Somebody was organizing. I sent it out on Facebook. Some group that I wasn't familiar with. We're getting a contract, but it escapes me right now. Seems like there's a lot of organizing going on, which is good for us.
Well, the UAW has made a big declaration about that, and so I'm anxious to see how if there's. I don't know that there's any new plants around here that would be. You know where
I think he's going to go after Tesla.
Yes, he's going to go after Tesla and the places in Kentucky, Tennessee. He's going to, you know, he's.
I hope so.
I think they're going to be aggressive. Well, I think he is. He's been serious about kind of movement before. Yeah. Why not? And he's.
Bend him, owe you the money or something.
You know, and he says, well, what's the answer to the next step? And he says, well, how about, you know, a whole lot more people go out at once, you know, over a common front. Yeah. And, man, I like that. I like it because it sends the most important message of all, in my opinion, and that is you are your own protection to the working people. And you get that in your – if people get that in their head a little bit, it changes them. It changes everything. Whole communities can change on a dime, you know, when people get that fever. And they, it stays with them. So I think all power to. I'm not a complete fan of what they call used to call super syndicalism. You know, one big strike can fix us all. But right now, some big strikes can help push things forward big time. So I'm in favor of it.
The other thing is that it's just the incredible amount of energy that's going into organizing now, and the diversity of what people are trying to organize now is incredible. I mean, we haven't seen this before in our lifetimes, particularly all the young people that are getting involved. And, you know, every time I go to some labor meeting or some labor conference or something like that, the number of young people that are out there and organizing, and, you know, I think I've probably said this before, but I'll say it again. You know, what the Starbucks workers and the Amazon workers are doing, calling for a national contract for all of their workers, is what led to the CIO and a huge upswing in organizing in 1945. And it just goes on and on and on. And all these unusual things that are being organized. I mean, you know, there's just all kinds of work that you never would have thought those workers would organize. It's just incredible, and it's a huge upswing. And we've got to be, the other thing, this is incredible to me too. How much of the labor movement now is no longer afraid of socialism and the left and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, all these people who just say, whoever you are, you're a part of our movement. And I'll say it again too, the coalition building, the way that the labor movement is building coalitions with all kinds of organizations. It's just an incredible time for the labor movement.
All right. Well, on that note, I think we should conclude for today. And unless you guys got some other items on the agenda.
You're letting me have the last word? You must be crazy.
Well, I think I don't have the last. I don't have an answer. I'm a little more confused than you are. I like the way you spin the optimism, because me and Carol now, people say, "Well, where are you on the political spectrum?" And we say, "I said, well, I'm kind of an apocalyptic optimist. I think there's going to be a big explosion, but we're going to be okay." Okay.
That's great. Apocaloptimist. I love it.
I have to remember that one.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Anyway. All right, guys. Take care of each other. It's late, but everything comes next.
All right.